said earlier on in our service that I had really debated whether it was the right thing to do to start our sermon series on the one another's in the week after the Queen has died. And I'd really reflected on it, and I came across this quote that solidified for me that it was the right thing to do, that we explore together what it means to be loved by God and to love one another. The Queen said in her Christmas message of 2013, "For Christians, as for all people of faith, reflection, meditation, and prayer help us to renew ourselves in God's love as we strive daily to become better people. The Christmas message shows us that this love is for everyone. There is no one beyond its reach." That is what we're going to be looking at in a nutshell for the next 8 weeks, basically. There is nobody outside of the reach of God's love, and our job as disciples is A, to receive that love richly and to proclaim that truth, that there is no one beyond the reach of God's love. So we are going to be exploring one another's for the next few weeks, 7 or 8, I can't quite remember. It's quite a lot and you're going to get a lot of me, so strap in and enjoy. We are going to be exploring this very key phrase, "By this they will know." That is the essence of this series. By what will the world know that we follow Jesus Christ? Is it by how stylish and fabulous we are? No. Is it by how many picnic parties we put on? No. It is by the love that we have. They will know by the love that we have. When we show the world how Jesus has loved us, they will know that we follow Jesus. So if we care about the world knowing about Jesus, we have to start with love. And we have to start with receiving that love in order that we might show it. Because everything that we do, every action we have in this world, and not just the things we might class as mission, but every action we have as disciples in this world is to be powered by the love of Jesus. That is how we make an impact in this world. That is how we shine as light. So, my friends, we're going on a relational journey. We're going to be spending some time on 3 very important relationships over the next few weeks. Number one, we are going to be tapping into the source of love. We are going to be focusing our eyes on Jesus. Every single one of these weeks, we have forgive one another, we have serve one another, today we have love one another. All of these, we know how to do them because Jesus does them for us, and we are going to be focusing and learning from how Jesus loves us, and we're going to be receiving that so we can share that. The second relationship, and this one, I'm going to be honest, might actually be the hardest one for us to look at. And that is the relationship we have with ourselves. I will tell you now, it is very difficult to love other people when we have got stuff going on inside that means we don't love ourselves. And I think there has been, in some Christian circles, some damage done that means we focus so much on sin and we can get into a cycle of thinking how awful we are and how all our impulses are wrong and everything about us is bad, that we miss the overarching message, as I have loved you. We have a God who went to the cross because he loves us so much. We are going to be focusing on ourselves, discovering that every single one of us, I am worthy of being loved. I am loved. And that is true for every single one of us here. It is okay for people to serve me. It's okay for the Lord to serve me. In fact, that's part of what it is to be a disciple. We're going to do some of that deep work. And I will be honest with you, probably a tiny percentage of that will be done in church. I really encourage you to go deeper and spend some time thinking about how this is for you and press into those uncomfortable places, because we grow by getting a little bit uncomfortable. And the third relationship is the title of the series, The One Another's, How We Relate to Other People. This is going to be deep work and it's going to be practical work. And I really encourage you to give as much of yourself to this as you can. So we're going to kick off with week one, love one another. Firstly, who are our one another's? I really love this because it's really gloriously vague. We could say the one another's are the people who are in this building today. But we're also online, so let's throw them in as well. But we're not just a one congregation church, so let's throw in our other congregations. But we're not defined congregations, are we? Because there are people who come sometimes, there are people who come a lot, so let's throw in anybody who ever might come. Okay, now we're getting quite big. Well, we're a parish church, so we have the reach of this entire parish that God has called us to serve. So let's throw all of those in as well. But wait a second, not all of us live in this parish. Not all of us work in this parish. So let's throw in those spheres of people as well. Anybody you interact with in any scope. Okay, now we're getting pretty big. But wait a second, we're just one church. And we are the Church of Jesus Christ. So let's throw in anybody who is part of any church anywhere in the world, ever has been, ever will be. This is getting quite big of our one another's, right? Then let's throw in everybody that the church anywhere is called to love and serve. Those are our one another's people. That is how big this goes. We cannot box it and define it and say, if I love you, then that is enough. Because the one another's, as I have loved you, Jesus is extravagant with love. Jesus loves so dramatically and wonderfully and extravagantly and beautifully. That is the breadth of the love that we are called to share. Love that cannot be contained. These one another's that we're going to talk about are about our behaviour and our presence in the world. It's not just about being a really good church. Because let's be honest, if we're just really nice to each other and we do lovely things in this building, but we go out the rest of the week and we're horrible, that's not proclaiming the love of Jesus, is it? And it's more than our actions. There's a quote by Maya Angelou that's been really going around in my mind over the last week. And it says that people will forget what you did. And people will forget what you said. But they will not forget how you made them feel. That is what we are looking at. How do we make people feel? I wonder if you've had the experience before where someone has said to you, I love you, or they've given you a gift or something, but it hasn't felt right. Do you know what I mean? When someone has served you and you think, what's the agenda here? Or you feel a little bit uncomfortable. You don't remember the gift, you remember how you felt. Whatever we do has to come from a place where people know and feel themselves to be loved. That's the goal. The goal is not what we do, it's who we are and how we are, how we make people feel. So that's the one another's. That's the kind of overview. Let's look at our word for today, love. Every single week that follows on from this week is the foundation. How we serve one another comes out of how we love one another. How we offer hospitality comes out of how we love one another. Being able to forgive comes out of loving one another. All of the other weeks are expressions of how we love one another. Love has to be foundational. As it says in 1 Corinthians, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Love is what transforms our actions into something truly remarkable that makes people see the truth of God. So how do we become great at love? There's this fantastic leadership expert called Jim Collins that I've been listening to. Big fan of the old Audible. It's very good while you're out and about busy, would recommend. And Jim Collins talks about what makes fantastic organisations is he says you're either a fox or a hedgehog. So a fox, he says, is an organisation that does many things. Think about the fox. How does the fox get its prey? It does many things. It has lots of different techniques, sneaking, creeping, pouncing, all of those things. As a church, we're a hedgehog. We don't do many things. We have one thing. The hedgehog, how does it defend itself? It curls up into a ball. This is very effective. The fox tries lots of different ways of getting the hedgehog. The fox is sneaky, but if the hedgehog is in a ball, sorry, fox, you're out of luck. We are hedgehogs. We have one thing that we do that we are called to be excellent at, and that is love. We can't drum that love up from within ourselves. We can't just hope that we're going to be really good at loving people. It starts by being in relationship with the one who is love. We need to soak in the presence of the Lord, as our Queen said. For Christians, people of all faith, reflection, meditation, and prayer help us to renew ourselves in God's love. We cannot be good at love if we're not tapping into the source of love. You will always be thirsty if you don't have water to drink. It's exactly the same with love. We need to spend time. We need to know ourselves as creatures made by love for love. Let that sink in. You are not made because the Lord felt that the world was going to fall apart without a Lizzie. That's not why I was made. God does not need me. God made me because God loves me. I am made by love for love. We can't bypass that deep work. Do you know, really know deep within you, that your identity is a child of God and that you are loved? Do you know that you are worthy of love just as you are? On the Deeper Dive sheet, there's some things by Brené Brown that really speak to this, how many prerequisites we have. I'll be worthy of love when I lose some weight. I'll be worthy of love if I can get pregnant. I'll be worthy of love if I can get or stay sober. I'll be worthy of love if people think I'm a good parent, if I can make a living selling my art, if I can hold my marriage together, if I can get a promotion at work, when my parents approve. I'll be worthy when. There is no when with God. There's just now. You are worthy of love just as you are, whatever you've done, whoever you are, whatever your background, you are worthy of love. I could spend an entire hour just saying that to you in different ways over and over again. And I want to really encourage you this week, examine your whens. What are the things you put in your mind that say, I will be loved, I will be enough, when? And I invite you to offer those to the Lord. And this is so important because firstly, I love you and you're treasured. And my word, what a horrible way it is to live when we wrestle with insecurity and brokenness, when we don't know ourselves to be loved. I don't want any of you to live lives like that. I can't take it away for you, but I encourage you to do the deep work. But also, this is essential for our mission and our ministry. Because when we don't love ourselves, we see things in others that resonate with parts of ourselves we don't like. And so instead of dealing with it, we can dislike the other person. Anyone else? Anyone else do this? Or when you have a relationship with somebody and perhaps you don't like something in them, so then you meet someone who's like that and you haven't dealt with what's happened there, so then that's transferred onto that. Anyone have these things? When we haven't done this work, it damages those relationships. We can be defensive, dismissive, unkind, jealous, and we don't know our worth and our value. We're going to unpack this more as the focus each week comes back to living with one another. Today, if we do nothing else, you are loved. This is your homework for this week. Dismiss your whens. Know that you are loved. And the other thing I just want to unpack here, just one last thing, is that I think as Christians, we can find this love one another thing quite tricky because we get it confused with being really nice. I don't want us to be a nice church. I want us to be an amazing church, a deep church. We can forget that the love that Christ is calling us to have for one another is extravagant, generous, and sacrificial love. The word is agape. It's a universal love. It is a love it is possible to have for all people. I want to be really honest. It is not possible for all of us to like everybody. Let's be honest. There are people we don't like. There are people we find tricky, there are people we find triggering, there are people who frustrate us. That is part of being human. We're called to love one another. And that love to be universal. This isn't about fake friendships. This isn't about the smile and the casual greeting. This is about, would I serve you if you were in need? This is about, am I willing, even if I find you tricky, to honour you and see you as you really are and to entrust the stuff that winds me up about you into God's hands? Am I willing to be empathetic and compassionate? So this week, I really encourage you to focus on the one who loves you, to let that shape our understanding of who we are as loved, that this week we might define ourselves as children of God, made by love for love, and that might equip us to love one another as Christ has loved us. We're going to pray.